Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason and John Guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Tom Hartz, a play-by-play man for ESPN, the SEC Network. He was on the call for Memphis, Georgia last night. He got a front row view of everything there in Athens, and he joins us now. Hello, Tom.
I can't believe that Memphis is still standing. I mean, burn it down. The season's over. Life is not worth living. It's not that the sky is falling. It's that the universe has collapsed.
Absolutely.
Is that about the mood?
Yeah, and I think it's I'll be honest. I think it's a little perverse of us to have you on today. I'll be honest, because it's like it's like reliving that. Who wants to do that? But you know, I guess.
Well,
go ahead.
I would say this: this is new territory for me. I mean, I only cover SEC football, so I'm not used to fans overreacting. I mean, I was at the Tennessee Ole Miss game, so I've never seen any fan base ever overreact.
The question is. Is it an overreaction, given as experienced as this Memphis basketball team is, the number one recruiting class in America? They have this blend of veterans and dynamic freshmen who were projected lottery picks, and this is a Georgia team that was 2-5 coming into it, was just coming off a loss to Wofford, and Tom Crean is so happy to just be down 2 at the half that he's rallying his fans. I've never seen anything like it. So is it an overreaction today? Whatever's being said, and there's a lot being said, is it an overreaction, or is it justified that this Memphis basketball season is going to fall short of expectations once again?
First of all, I'm like the very last hot take guy. Like, I'm the last clickbait person ever. So I don't tend to overreact to much anyway. But you said you started that by talking about Memphis's experience. Are they experienced? I mean, to me, the guys that are most important to this team are 17 and 18 years old, respectively. And maybe they've played talent like this, but they haven't played at this level. So I guess I'll douse some fire. Let me add fuel to the fire. No, I'd throw some water on the fire, and I'd say, why would we think of this Memphis team, especially, any different than every year we think of John Calipari's young teams? And the thought there is, wow, they're good, they're raw, but they're not elite, and they make a lot of mistakes. Let's see what they look like come March. I mean, this Memphis team has a ton of potential. The new-look offense, I thought, was efficient last night in many ways, especially with the touches they got Duren. Duren's on-the-block defense is way advanced for his age. His body control is advanced for his age. And on top of all of that, like, there's room for this team to get better and time for them to get better. I didn't see a lot of me-first basketball last night relative to the Iowa State game, which it was almost embarrassing. So I think they took a major step in the right direction everywhere except for the win column last night.
I think in terms of the experience they hope to see shine, Penny was sort of singling out some of those guys last night, guys like DeAndre Williams, who, you know, is 25, 26 years old, and is making mistakes that at this point in his career he shouldn't be making. Alex Lomax, Nolly, some of those guys, Quiñones, have been through the wars. So I think they were expecting more from them. Penny sort of absolved Imani and Jalen. I'm not sure you can completely do that, but they've got more experience, and I think some are giving them, you know, some sort of think they have, or at least they've shown so far this season. That said, what did you think? How did what you thought you would see defensively from them? You mentioned Duren, who was awesome around the basket, but they gave up 50 points in the second half. How did that compare with what you thought you would see? Because coming into it, obviously, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country.
Yeah, I was surprised at that because Georgia is not a good offensive team.
Without its point
guard.
I
went through the numbers at one point.
Yep.
Yeah, during the broadcast, they're like, they're last or close to last in the SEC in just about every offensive category. And just to be frank, the bottom four teams in the SEC are going to be really, really bad this year. You know, I thought that Georgia's willingness to run opened up, I think it surprised Memphis a little bit. I think it opened up a lot of transition points that, you know, I didn't think it was in Georgia's best interest to run, but it was incredibly efficient. I don't know what their points per possession was in transition, but it had to have been way above their average. I mean, listen, there's at least three that I can think of. You know, this is morning after for me, so I'm a little foggy, but at least three shots I can think of that Georgia made with the shot clock ringing in their ear.
It's
that
true.
Was off balance, a no movement, no design whatsoever. And so, I mean, you take one of those baskets away. One of them was a three late,
mm-hmm.
right, from the top of the key. You take one of those away, it's obviously a different game. You take all three of them away, it's a Memphis win. So I guess from the Georgia perspective, the way I look at it is that's probably the best game Georgia's going to play all season. They, especially offensively in the second half, they played out of their minds, and we hadn't seen any of that from them to this point. Now, I understand what Penny's saying about having veteran players who are making mistakes that they shouldn't mm-hmm. make at this point in their career, but to me, it's all relative because everyone in college basketball is older. There are more 24-year-olds on college basketball courts than at the Sunday YMCA pickup games. I mean, there's dudes out there playing that should be working their first jobs and not pro basketball jobs. So, you know, Georgia brought in 4,000 points worth of transfers. That's an older team. Yeah, so that's in summation, it's not as bad, I would say, to Memphis fans as it seemed. And as long as they continue to grow. I mean, to me, the turnovers is the biggest mark against this team.
Right.
And I don't know what they ended up with, but they really cleaned it up last night. They had 9 3/4 of the way through the game.
What did you make of, you know, Jason mentioned it, sort of Penny's post-game remarks. I don't know if you have seen them, but he basically...
No, I haven't seen them.
Well, I thought they were disturbing, I'll be honest. He said, guys are willing to lose if they're not getting their way. That's tough to watch. Almost like he's trying to absolve himself and place it all on, oh, well, these guys don't want to do what it takes to win. At this level, I mean, doesn't there have to be some self-accountability for Penny Hardaway?
Well, I'll say this. After listening to how he addressed his team during the shoot-around yesterday, that is right in line with the message that he's been giving them for at least the last 24 hours, if not, you know, usually with coaches, it's not something that they just rolled out of bed and decided to deliver. I'm guessing he's been saying this for the last 5 days, which is you've got to play better as a team. And he is really fighting hard to find chemistry and to get them from being selfish players. And to me, if you're 17 and 18-year-old, are playing selfish basketball, and Bates certainly looks like it on a regular basis. That's one thing, and they'll eventually learn. Tom Crean had the exact same problem with Anthony Edwards when he was at Georgia. He didn't want to listen, and then finally at the end of the year, he started to become more of a team player. But that was just a stopping point on his way to the number one overall pick.
Let me ask
the message Penny. Yeah, the message Penny gave was. So, I guess to follow up, if the 17 and 18-year-old are the immature ones, that's okay, because just like Kentucky basketball with seven freshmen and being better at the end of the year, they'll grow. If who he's talking to and delivering that message are the veterans, then that's a real problem.
Yeah, that's who we certainly angled it at last night. We know Memphis lost to a football school last night. There's no question about that. Can Alabama stop Georgia in this SEC championship game come this weekend, Tom? Is there a formula for Alabama to win this game, or is it just going to be too tough to block that Georgia front?
No, the formula is pretty simple for Alabama. It is get Georgia into passing downs and bring pressure on Stetson Bennett and take away his options in the quarterback run game. That's it. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. I mean, it's first of all, to force Georgia into passing downs, no one's done that pretty much all season. There are very few third and longs. And secondly, and people made fun of Kirby about a month ago when he was talking about Stetson versus JT Daniels, and he said, well, you know, Stetson really gives us a threat to run at the quarterback position, like he was Michael Vick or something. But it's accurate in that Stetson Bennett is a willing runner, and as great as Will Anderson is, and I think he should be one of two favorites for the Heisman, you know, Stetson Bennett is not Peyton Manning. He's not going to stand back there and take hits. He's going to get on his feet and get out of the way. And so you've, in that regard, you're allowed to negate Alabama's biggest threat, which is pressure off the edge from Anderson. I don't see many other paths to success for Alabama unless, I'll throw one more at you. And I don't see this happening against Georgia's defense, but if somehow Alabama can get some chunk plays and turn this thing into a shootout and let Bryce Young run wild and use his great receivers, then maybe. That's like buying a lottery ticket. I mean, yeah, you could win $250 million, but odds are you're just burning $20.
Well, that's going to scholarships, you know, in your state. Yeah. There are worse ways to spend $20.
Yeah, the dancers are all in dental school.
There's been a lot of hand-wringing. We're talking to Tom Hart, SEC Network play-by-play man. There's been a lot of hand-wringing, I'm sure you've seen, about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU. I think it could have been handled better within his team, but I certainly am going to stop short of some of the things that we've seen written, like that this is a referendum on a broken sport. Is that going too far, or do you think there's some truth there?
No, I think there's some truth there. I think, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Like, if there was a commissioner of college football, which there is not, but if there were a president of college football, he would say he would immediately put in place tampering rules. You know, Larry Brown, saw him last night, right? He's the only guy to coach two teams in the same season in the NBA, and that's because Donald Sterling's an idiot. So you can't have – why do we allow college coaches to essentially coach two teams within the same system? Why do we allow tampering to allow coaches to change jobs before the season is over? That doesn't happen. Aaron Boone is not going to the Red Sox with the Yankees two games out of the wild card race in October. It's just that part to me is idiotic. I understand why LSU was in a rush to get Kelly. I understand why he was – you know, felt he had the freedom to say, all right, well, I'm taking the job, time to go. But they're on the precipice of the playoffs. How do we allow that to happen? To me, that diminishes the sport. It diminishes the most important time of the sport. You know, I'm not sure exactly how you do it, but there's got to be some, whether you want to call it tampering or otherwise, there's got to be some sort of guidelines in place where, you know, free agency opens and closes, and that's it. Once again, that's a lot. It's easier said than done, I understand.
Which one of these hires are you the most optimistic about, if you had to say it? I mean, is it Brian at LSU in terms of what they'll get done on the field? Lincoln Riley at USC, which one you think you look at, you say, oh, yeah, that's a home run, that's a grand slam?
Well, there's different ways to measure this in my mind. I think Lincoln Riley is the most impactful hire.
Okay.
Because I think he can make an immediate impact on how we, the media, the general public, fans, and most importantly, recruits, think about not just USC, but the Pac-12.
Agreed.
At large.
Mm-hmm.
That is a game changer. They've been a dumpster fire for years, really the entire league. since Oregon fell off and after Pete Carroll left. And the SEC has shined in that vacuum by pulling in quarterbacks from the West Coast, you know, superstar NFL first-rounders from the West Coast. The more those stay at home, the better the Pac-12 is. But I think Brian Kelly wins immediately at LSU. I mean, we know the stat. We know the last three have won it. We know who the last two coaches were there. We know the fertile recruiting ground that he will have at his fingertips. I mean, that's start the clock on a national championship. LSU will win one before Jimbo wins one at A&M. I think that's the race to watch, in my opinion.
Tom, man, appreciate the time.
Thank
as
you,
always,
Tom.
Man. Thanks, thank
Tom.
You.
All right, guys. Great to be with you.
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to have you, sir.
He is Tom Hart, SEC Network play-by-play man. Appreciate his time as always. We will come back. Jeff Calk is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90s FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.